Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness a giant shit show of a taxationist theft live stream. It all started out when Alan Miller's Skype wouldn't open and we couldn't get our communication going. If you don't already know, I hate Skype. It's a piece of shit. It's run by Microsoft. But, and it used to be good before Microsoft bought it, but now it's a piece of shit and that just wasn't working out. So we decided to do our video communication via Facebook instead, and that was another shit show. And then I was trying to live stream it and there were all kinds of technical problems. So, okay, so we finally decided, hey, look, let's just record the show and we're going to upload it. So what you're about to watch right now is that. You're about to watch the recording. Now, after we started recording, because we had to rearrange and reconnect and all this other stuff, when we reconnected, the audio was not there. So I didn't have the first few minutes of Alan talking. So as you're watching this, there's going to be some parts that I edit out just so that you're not bored off your ass watching it. And I'll put a little note in there saying what you're missing. It's not a lot. We really go back and cover everything because it was, you know, you're not going to miss much. But we did edit that part out and repeat anything that you missed. Enjoy the show. Taxation is theft.
Yeah, I wouldn't let me share any links to Texas Libertarians earlier. It did, and then it just went down. I don't know what was going on there.
So maybe Facebook is altering their algorithms. I'm going to put us on the screen so people can see us, because we're having some technical issues here. And, okay, here we go. Well, the page came up. And just bear with me for a second, guys. I'm just trying to share this link, and of course, while like my computer's lagging to a halt, Facebook wants to actually advertise to me to watch my own live stream. I'm telling you, like, so I'm a software engineer, and like, I look at whenever I have to use Facebook because I really hate using it. It's like everything I see is like, you know, they should open a ticket for this and they should change that because that's really a really bad bug. That's like, you know, they're hiring really shitty developers to do all their stuff. Okay, thanks, Ben. So Ben's going to go ahead and share the link. Hopefully he's got access to share it to the page. Well, so what's interesting is I turned on our cameras. I think everything's on a lag. Is this video like super choppy for you guys? Can you see us at all? Can you hear us? Do we sound good?
Hello?
Can you hear Alan?
Can y'all hear me here?
Clayton Hunt?
Everybody hear me?
Well, we got a lot of viewers tuning in, so that's good. I got a couple thumbs up. So I guess that means we're good. Okay, well, so let's jump right in. Alan, there's some rumors going around that,
yes,
that you are not the libertarian you say you are. Some people are saying you're kind of a Republican infiltrator. You're one of these guys. Now, we know there were some letters going around prior to the Texas convention trying to coordinate all these Republicans to come in and take over the party, and it's my understanding that you're friends with some of these people. Is that right?
I knew a few of them and talked to a few of them whenever this was going on. You know, there was a big push for different Republicans to come in. I actually had a few that discussed with me prior to convention about coming in, and I told them not to even show up to convention if all they wanted to do is usurp the party. I believe everyone can attest that I brought no extra people to our precinct convention.
So this is a kind of a matter of guilty by association then. Because
yeah, I mean,
I think we've got a little bit of a lag. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm here working with the only people actually making true political strides in my community, and it just so happens to be that those are the Republicans. I work for the state party as a legislative administrator, so of course I have to go out and talk to sitting legislators. You know, I myself am running for Texas House District 4 and want to be a legislator. And I think it would be great if every single Libertarian on the ticket won, but that still gives us no ability to do anything without working with Republicans and Democrats.
Okay, yeah, and that's a fair point. I think I'm just seeing a comment come up saying, yes, we can hear you. So I think everyone else is like 4 minutes behind what we're saying. So if you guys have questions, leave them early, because I guess we're not going to see them for a while. So yeah, that's really interesting, because I actually interviewed someone last night who's a libertarian. Now, I vetted him, and he seems very libertarian, but he was running as a Democrat, and he explained the reason he was doing that, and it was a pretty good reason, to me anyway. And so I think, you know, it sounds like we have the party itself. I know a lot of people complain about the party itself and how, you know, nobody's libertarian enough. But it sounds like, you know, you're trying to make some changes, and people are expecting you to be, you know, the 100% libertarian anarchist. But how dare you associate with these other people who aren't like us?
Yeah, it's fallacy. You know, whenever I look at it, you know, I have a friend over here in Chandler, Texas, Bob Valliere, that just recently defeated a certificate of obligation bond. If not for the fact that I was showing up to city council meetings, me being the only affiliated libertarian in my county showing up to these, in a county that's been affiliated for 5 years, I'm the one who started the trend whenever I came in a year ago. I found out, and I got together with Bob and tried to share a little bit of advice with him. And now I'm putting together a watchdog program throughout the state with a few others in the political action department and those that aren't affiliated with the state party to watch for certificate of obligation bonds and to give out the proper petitioning to kill these certificate of obligation bonds throughout the state of Texas. So that way we can start getting actual wins instead of calling 2% a win.
Right. So you're actually... you're not elected, but it sounds like you're actually making some libertarian changes for the better using the politicians who are already elected.
That is correct. And not just that, using these simple processes that were put in by our founding fathers, such as petitioning your government, we can do this as the people, not as elected officials, and actually make a change. And it goes a lot farther than any open carry walk or anything else ever will.
Well, so that's signature. An interesting point, because I think, you know, the open carry walks, you like there's two, like if we look at Cory Watkins' campaign, he's kind of on the gun rights and the marijuana rights. And I think both of those are, you know, like that's not something you could really change doing what you're doing. So it's kind of hard to compare apples to apples on that one, right?
I disagree. There is different ways to change. For instance, Houston County and Dallas County both have more lackadaisical marijuana laws than the rest of the counties in the state of Texas. There's a few others that have this. Over here in Henderson County, we're pretty strict. We could take the site and release program, and we can get out for level to try to fit our county, so that way nobody goes to jail for less than 4 ounces.
So and that's an interesting one, because you have the site and release, I know it's a statewide law, but it's up to the individual agencies to decide whether or not they want to do that, right?
It's up to the individual counties.
So that sounds like, you know, doing what you're doing, you might be able to make some changes like that. But we have organizations like Normal and MPP. Aren't they trying to do the same thing, and they haven't had too much success? Or are they only going after the legislative branch? Or I guess the state legislature?
Organization far as I can tell, they later. I haven't seen any of them do real legislation reform on the local level. And why we're not seeing a whole lot of change is because we're not attacking anything on the local level. Look, everything's bigger in town.
I'm just going to start recording, let's see if we can just take off, and I'll see if any comments come in. And so again, let me just explain to anybody that's watching. We're getting zucked in real time live. We're trying to do a Facebook broadcast, and Facebook is just like taking a shit all over both of our computers. So who knows? I didn't see any black helicopters, but who knows? And I think even you know, to look at MPP, that's even a clear example of something libertarian happening that's not associated with the Libertarian Party. So I think, you know, in general, we shouldn't, you know, cut off our noses to spite our faces if there are people that are, because ultimately here's how it's going to work. If one libertarian gets elected to the Texas House, let's say you get elected, if you get in there and say, I'm so libertarian, I'm not even going to talk to these Democrats or these Republicans, what are you going to get accomplished? Absolutely nothing, because all you have now is one vote. You're not going to be talking to the other guys, so you're not going to convince them to legalize marijuana, which is possible. Like, just the fact that you're in there and you're a respected you know, another member of the same fraternity they're in now. It's a private club and we're not in it. You're in that club now, but now you're saying, well, I'm in the club, but I'm not really in the club and I don't want to talk to you guys. Like, no one's going to work with you. And so then, you know, they're going to make sure that they don't help you get reelected too. And so, you know, I think we say a lot that there's, you know, the two parties are conspiring to keep us out, and there's a lot of truth to that. But I think if one of us gets our foot in the door, I think there are going to be some, I don't know about Democrats, but maybe some Republicans that are going to say, hey, you know what? This guy's not so bad. Let him get reelected. You know, because the system is rigged from the top to the bottom, but they've only got so many people. They can't rig so many different elections. I don't know. That's my take on it. Does that sound about right with you? Is there anything you disagree with? But so basically, I figured this would be easier than making you read it. But basically, Alan goes on to explain that there's this driver's responsibility program, and everyone he talks to in Texas is basically on the side of, we need to get rid of this thing. It's horrible. It screws people over. It gets you into an endless trap of paying fines forever because you keep missing the fines, and then they keep making the fines take longer, and it's just like one of those, it just screws you continuously. This is like those little shitty credit card scams where like they get you in with a low interest rate and then you miss a payment and then they jack your rates up and then you start like you can't make the minimum payments, so then they start hitting you with fines and penalties and everything else. That's what this sounds like, and you know, that's really, and so what do you have to do to get in this program? Like, do you get in voluntarily to get out of a regular speeding ticket? Or so here Alan was basically telling me that when he was younger, he was driving, his insurance had just expired on a Sunday. And Monday came around, he was driving to get his insurance renewed, and he was stopped for something, and he was ticketed for not having insurance, even though it expired the day before, and he was on his way to renew it. And because of that, he got into this driver program, the driver's responsibility program, where he basically had to pay like a few $100 fine, which they told him it was coming up in a couple months, and he paid the first one. But he didn't have to renew his driver's license for 2 years, and so he missed the next couple payments. And when he was stopped a couple years later for another minor traffic thing, they basically said, oh, you're driving and you haven't paid your annual fee, so we're going to now make those fees worse, and you're going to have to continue paying this for another couple years. And wait, hold on. Were they not even courteous enough You don't have to answer this because I think the answer is pretty obvious. Were they not courteous enough when you went to go renew your driver's license that they didn't tell you about this, or they didn't send you a notice in the mail or something? That's right, because you said this you have to pay every year, but your license is usually good for like 2 or 4 years. So then he goes on to explain he has a ticket coming up now that he's going to be fighting, and he's going to be talking to the entire jury about jury nullification, and how that's his defense. He's gonna ask the jury to nullify based on the fact that the law sucks. All right, you know that's gonna piss the judge off. What's really interesting about that? So I've heard of some people getting charged with contempt of court for even mentioning jury nullification in the courtroom. But at the same time, you've got your freedom of speech. And I think, from what I understand, if you hired a lawyer, your lawyer is forbidden from mentioning jury nullification. But since you're not a member of the bar, you're not being threatened with being disbarred, you can actually say, yeah, you can actually get away with saying a lot more. So are you going to try to sneak in a video camera for that? He said, yes, he's going to try. Yeah, because so for anyone watching who doesn't know, most of the courts don't allow you to bring in cameras because some people have different reasons why they think the courts say it's to protect the minors that are being charged with crimes who don't want to be on camera without parental. I say it's because the entire system is a scam and they don't want anyone to see what really goes on in there, because you get some nutcases like me who go in and say, you're not a real court. You have no power here. I'm not going to give you anything. And to that, they, you know, people think like, oh shit, this guy's going to jail. And no, because it is not a real court. They don't want you to see, like, because here's the thing, like, you know, there's millions and millions of people in the country. The first, like, most of these traffic courts, the first thing they do is say your case is going to be heard in Texas. They say your case is going to be heard by a prosecutor. And they don't want video of that going around the internet, because most of the people who are just like, the people who don't go to court because they're good law-abiding citizens and they follow every single traffic rule, of course, they end up going every once in a while too, but they hear this and they're like, ah, that's crazy. That's conspiracy talk. That's not true. And there's no video to show them because you can't take a video camera in there. So I wish more people would, if you go to court for anything, bring in a camera and start recording the shit, because, and send them to me, because I can guarantee you there's stuff going on that you don't even see that would be really great evidence. So maybe that's what I should be telling people. But you're with me on this, right? You understand a lot of this, right? And so this is, so I was hanging out with you a lot at the Texas Libertarian Convention, and this is one thing I liked about you. I started getting into this stuff about how the court system is rigged and all this other stuff before I even found the Libertarian Party. And so when I got to the Libertarian Party, like I realized a lot of people in the Libertarian Party were more about, let's just fix the system. Let's pass the laws and all this other stuff. And I really, I'm not knocking that strategy, but it's almost like because they're taking that strategy, there aren't very many of them who understand the realism of the system that's there. It's almost like they're just like, okay, let's just go fix the system and kick all the corrupt people out. But they don't fully understand, like, desist, like, it doesn't matter if you kick them out, because the system itself is like a facade. It's all fake. It's an illusion. And if you realize that, you don't even have, like, most of the shit you don't even have to deal with. It's just garbage. I haven't had a driver's license in 10 years. I haven't had license plates on my car in 10 years. And if everybody understood this and did this, their system would just disappear. So secession, are you for or against secession? So let me ask you this. Let me get back to you know, you're running for the Texas House. Do you have any plans for specific legislation that you want to introduce? Sorry, you started dropping out again there. You said why would you want people to be a part of, and that's where I kind of lost you. Oh, sorry, man. Facebook's fucking up big time. You're on freeze frame right now, but I'm gonna hopefully Facebook's gonna reconnect. But I just want to say, well, you know, so basically, he's saying if you live close enough to a city, you're out. The call's gone. I'm gonna try to reconnect. If you live close enough to the city, the city is going to start taxing you, but they're not going to give you anything in return. So it's kind of like the ultimate IRS bad deal. So, yeah. So I was just saying, like, that's basically like, you know, you live close enough to us, we're going to tax you, but we're not going to give you anything in return. And so, like, you know, when everyone's like, you know, oh, but what about my roads? Well, you're paying for someone else's roads. That's the sad truth of it. So I want to go back to this. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Okay. So now he starts talking about, he has a friend who was a deputy sheriff who was just fired because of a post that he made on Instagram. Yeah. Well, that actually is true. And a lot of libertarians don't acknowledge that, but what, okay. This is kind of funny because I saw Ben Letter make a post about this earlier today. And my first instinct was my libertarian instincts kicking in, like, sheriff, good, fuck them, fire them all. And it's, you know, at the same time, it's like, wait a minute, as libertarians, we like to run candidates even for sheriff. And I don't think most libertarians understand the power that the sheriff has. But it's like, as libertarians, as soon as a libertarian gets elected sheriff, do we just start saying, yeah, fuck the police? It's, you know, it's kind of a paradox. But I think a sheriff is a really important position. And I've seen, there's a couple videos out there, very few, you know, most 99% of the videos of police, they're kicking someone's ass. But, I've seen a sheriff tell another deputy, no, don't search his car. He said, no, you don't have a right. Or, you know, you're not going to take his gun. You're like, you don't have the right for that. And it's really good to see that stuff every once in a while. And those are the types of sheriffs we should be electing because, yes, those, because look, and this is another thing that, was brought up last night when I was discussing with the gubernatorial candidate from California. He said he's not, Robert Griffiths. He said he's not going to enforce some of the state laws. And a lot of what you hear with a lot of these libertarian libertarian sheriffs is I've asked a couple of them, what are you going to do about marijuana enforcement? And they say, well, it's my job, I have to enforce the law. And it's like, no, it's not your job. You're the sheriff, you're elected, you don't have to enforce any specific laws. That is your discretion to be able to say, no, we're not going to put our resources into marijuana charges. I'm getting some weird. Oh, shit. Sorry, give me 1 second. I just realized you're, thanks to Facebook. Give me 1 second. I'm not getting any of your audio. give me 1 second here. All right, say something.
Something.
All right, I got you back on. Shit, I'm sorry I didn't catch that sooner. This is like the worst broadcast ever, but at the same time, we're covering some really great content. So, I'm gonna have to post this with a disclaimer, like, please be patient with all of our fuck ups for this broadcast, but
well, we'll have to try again.
I'm trying to think. Is there anything that was really important that that you need to repeat, because I think we were talking about the annexation. Why don't you tell me, give me the story again about your friend, the sheriff, who give me that whole story now that we can hear you.
Okay, now that you can hear it. So my friend Sheriff Mack just recently got fired for posting a video on Instagram. That's it. Posting a video on Instagram. Now, much like in his earlier, is that Bodie Hillhouse doesn't like competition. Our current sheriff, Bodie Hillhouse. You know, he thinks he's some mystical sheriff out here. He's busting game rooms that aren't harming anyone right and left while there's real criminals walking the streets. He's worried about tickets and profits. Well, Sheriff Mack has never really cared about any of that. He's actually cared about improving the community structure. Amazing. So I believe Bodie just fired him, just looking for an excuse is all it was. So I'm hoping that we can get Sheriff Mack to Deputy Mack to run for sheriff in 2020 against Bodie and take him on, because that's the change we need.
I have to ask, what was this post about? Like, how did he fire him for this post? Was he smoking a joint? What was going on?
No, he was in uniform. He was in uniform, and he was kind of making fun of some of the calls, and he asked everyone to make him go viral so he could put in his 2 weeks' notice.
So he was asking for it.
He was kind of asking for it, but you know, when you're dealing with this highly status sheriff that we have over here, and you're kind of libertarian leaning, where you don't want to arrest anyone for nonviolent crimes or ticket anyone for nonviolent offenses, then I can understand wanting to be fired from your job. You know, they're in a lot of work where most of what you're being forced to do is rip people off. I can understand wanting to put in your 2 weeks' notice and get out of there. Not to mention the dangers behind it.
Right. It's a moral dilemma. And I'm glad that some people are able to wake up to that, because there's so many people who are able to, you know, they can't see past the orders that they're following to understand that what they're doing is immoral, and they might feel a little bit sorry for the person that they're doing this to. And don't get me wrong, some people are just like, they don't give a fuck. They're like, yeah, I get to beat people up. But you've got some people that are just like, oh, well, at least at the end of the day, I can go home and see my wife and tell her I did some really bad things, but it was my job. It's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
That's how they sleep at night, I guess. So it's good to see that some people are like, no, enough is enough. I can't do this. And so, this sounds like somebody that would be good to run for sheriff. And like you were saying earlier, I think this part got cut off. You were mentioning that when federal agents come into Texas, the sheriff has the legal authority to arrest federal agents.
Yes, he does.
If they're there to
enforce
marijuana laws that the state doesn't want them to enforce, because that's the thing, like that nobody, not too many people know this. The FBI is technically unconstitutional, and there was a big fight just to be able to get the FBI created.
That is correct.
And so when the FBI and the DEA is, it's just like the FBI. It's a federal government police force. They're just tasked with something more specific, but it's just as unconstitutional as the FBI. But there was precedent now, and when a sheriff says, I'm not gonna enforce any drug laws in my county, everyone gets a free pass. As while I'm sheriff, of course they elect somebody else, then you know that might go out the window. But if a federal agent comes into that county and that sheriff says, no, you're not going to enforce those laws here, he has every right to arrest a federal agent.
Hey, IRS agents come into town and try to arrest you for non-payment of taxes. he can say, not in my county, Bubba.
Yes.
I mean, the limit, it's limitless with federal agencies what a sheriff can arrest. It truly is. When they violate that constitution, he has every right and authority to do so.
Yep.
There are laws.
There's federal law. There's state law that says, I mean, the federal laws, I think it's like section 1982 or something that says anybody who deprives another person of their constitutional rights under color of law is maybe punished by fines and imprisonment. And when's the last time that's been used? And you know, it's because we have, you know, we have law enforcement that for the most part is all, we're all on the same team. We're, you know, the thin blue line. But there are some people out there who are realistically like, no, I put the Constitution before the blue line. They're very, very few. Don't get me wrong. There's another guy running in Nevada, Dave Champion. He's running for sheriff in Nevada. And he's actually been fighting the IRS for like 30 or 40 years. He's written a book on it and everything else. I'm trying to get him on the show. There are some good people out there. And this guy, he's got what do you call it? Criminal justice experience. Like he has been, you know, a police officer and some other things. So, you know, there are people out there who are, you could call them libertarian law enforcement, but they're ready to fight back against the government as the police instead of fighting against the citizens. Those are the police that you don't say fuck them.
Look, I believe that as libertarians, we've all come together with this one conclusion. The system is screwed up, and if it continues on this current path, it's going to result in a civil war. I believe we're all on that. So yep. I believe that it is our obligation, it is our responsibility as those who have seen the future in this to do what we can to get involved in every single aspect, from local circuit court judges all the way up, state legislators, city council, all of this. This is our obligation to get involved and to steer away from a bad conflict. If you believe in the non-aggression principle, this is what you should be doing with every fiber of your being.
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of people say, this isn't going to work, that's not going to work, don't vote, don't do this, don't deal with the Republicans, don't do it. But it's, you know what? We need to throw everything at it that we've got. We need to attack it from every single angle, because it's, you know, we're not going to win the entire thing by doing one thing. You know, like if you look at the way we are now, we're enslaved by our government. This didn't happen because they just said, oh, we'll just make a system and they'll vote for it. They attacked us. They created this system and they attacked us and forced us into the system from a million different angles. The school system, the prison system, the drugs, the drug prohibition, the traffic laws, everything else. It's a million different little things that they've piled onto us, and we need to attack every single one of them, because if we don't, and we need to attack every single way we can. Let's do it through the courts. Let's do it through the legislation. Let's do it through the law enforcement. Let's do it by dealing with other parties who are in some ways just sick of maybe one or two little pieces of the big equation, but they're sick of it and they're going to help us take apart one little piece of it. And we'll deal with somebody else to help us take apart the other piece. But we have an ally that's going to help us attack one of these little cogs.
Well, you know, like you're saying, those little bitty things, you know, I read a Chinese proverb the other day. They said the man who moves a mountain started by moving a stone. And that's, we're over here trying to lift a mountain. Most libertarians are over here trying to pick up a mountain. Guess what? We're not going to be able to do that. Move a stone.
But you're compromising with the stones. We need to move the mountain. Don't compromise. You're not a real libertarian. It's, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the reality
Call
of
me
it.
Status Miller.
Yeah. So yeah, you know what, in that vein, a lot of anarchists are, you know, that's why they completely hate the Libertarian Party, because they're like, I don't want anything to do with government. Why would I run for office? And it's got nothing to do with wanting to run for office or wanting to tell other people how to rule their lives. If anything, you're jamming your foot in the door so you can be the placeholder. You can be the not politician who's holding the place so some other politician can't come in there and do all the evil things he was going to do.
That's right. Dilute the waters is best.
Yes. Yeah. And it might take a lot of water to dilute all that mess, but it's one little... And hey, dilute over here and then maybe install a filter and a pump over here. And then, you know, that's how you drain the swamp. Renee just sent me a question. She's asking, are there Republicans in Austin willing to work with the LP to pass libertarian bills?
Yes, there's actually the Texas Freedom Caucus down there. And I happen to know a few. In fact, a man that I was running against, Stuart Spitzer, he was a good constitutional conservative. He was a good Freedom Caucus guy. He unfortunately lost, so now I get to take on this Republican, Keith Bell. But he was part of that, and I communicate with Stuart pretty regularly now that we're no longer, you know, competition. I try to keep in touch and contact with him. And yeah, there's several down there in Austin. I say several. There's about 10 down there in Austin that are pro-liberty and want to push it. You know, I believe we need to get down there. We need to sign up with them and join the fight. You know, whenever it comes to marijuana reform or drug reform in general, I've seen a few Democrats even that are real strong on those issues that I would like to help out.
Any way that they're anti-liberty? Because I know there's a lot of there's a lot of people who say they're pro-liberty and they're you should be able to smoke pot. You should be able to, or let's just leave it at that. You should be able to smoke pot, but you should go to prison if you smoke heroin. Or maybe shoot up heroin. Yeah. Are there any that you would say don't have, or at least you don't know about, an anti-liberty position that they have?
Well, I believe our former Speaker of the House was one of the worst. Honestly, he sickened me. And the incumbent that I'm running against, Lance Gooden, who is probably fixing to be my congressmen, they're some of the most anti-liberty people, and they're directly tied with the Republican Party. So, you know, make no mistake about it, you know, the Republicans are just as bad as the Democrats. They're just these big government party from both of them. There's big government, and that's actually the controlling factor down there in Austin. But there is a small little resistance group down there in the Republicans and a couple in the Democrats that are, you know, believe in it. You know, I mean, there's some actual liberals in the Democratic Party, and there's some true conservatives, actual conservatives in the Republican Party. And both of these terms used to mean, if you're not fucking with me, I'll leave you alone. So yeah, there's these groups, but like I said, you know, Joe Strauss, Lance Gooden, these guys were extremely anti-liberty, and unfortunately, there's several more. I mean, that is the ruling factor.
So, what do you think about, you know, because we're talking about what liberal and conservative used to mean? What do you think about how do we get where we are from where things used to be? Like, do you think, is it because of the voter? Is it like, are we voting for crazy people because we like all the crazy things that they say? Are we looking for like the extremist that's going to counter the extremist on the other side of the aisle? Like, how do we end up here?
It's fear. It's simple fear. That's all it is. You know, I get these mailers. I'm on mailing lists for legislators throughout the state of Texas, for, you know, our governor, you know, current governor, his mailing list, all of these, Dan Patrick, all of them. And I would say about 9 out of 10 of these legislators, they send in, hey, vote for us, you know, the Republicans send in, vote for us so a Democrat doesn't win. Doesn't matter if you're in a 80% Republican voting district, that's what the fear is. So you don't have a chance for any third party. Not just that, it's just blatant corporatism that holds on to the ties in the state of Texas. And that's, honestly, I believe that's one of the...
That's really interesting, because that's, you know, when I've spent a lot of time working with, like, advertisers and marketers, and, of course, they always say, you know, the most important thing to make a sale is fear. Use fear to your advantage. Scare people. If they don't buy your product. And that's, you know, that's everything. Like, it's, you know, what? Makeup. They sell makeup to women. If you don't look pretty, guys aren't going to like you. Everything. Like, cars. If you don't get this car, your family's going to burn in a terrible car crash. They use fear, like, in advertising. And when you look at, like, you know, okay, if you're, you know, who are these big advertising firms that know all this stuff? And are they advertising for politicians? And the answer is absolutely yes. And which ones?
Absolutely.
Which ones that have access to this and have the funds for it? Well, the ones who are being bought out by corporations, most likely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Not just that. The media perpetuates this because the media wants numbers, and they're going to sell you fear.
Yeah.
I mean, fear and conflict. That's all that matters.
And remember, what gets me is, like, so many people are like, I'm not afraid of shit. But they, like, the same people who say that, those are the same people saying, yeah, we need to go bomb Afghanistan because terrorists. And it's like, wait, I thought you weren't afraid of anything. Yeah, we're not afraid of terrorists because we're going to bomb them. But, okay, but you're bombing them because you're afraid of them. If you don't bomb them, they're going to come and attack you. Oh, I'm not afraid. But, like, and so they're acting out of fear. And it's the same thing, like, with the bank bailouts. It was, you remember that whole thing, like, when the banks, like, when they were trying to say, like, we needed this bailout, they gave them, like, it was this ridiculously small window. They basically came in and said, you've got 24 hours to issue this bailout or the entire economy is going to collapse. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
And is it
the same thing? And it's like,
Daniel, my phone is now dead. You can still hear me.
Yes. All right, Alan. Well, it's been great talking with you. I would love to get you saying taxation is theft, but I know you're going to say it anyway. Taxation is theft, and we will catch you guys later. And again, sorry for the shittiest show we have ever put on, but... it was actually still pretty good, all technical difficulties aside. So, thanks, Alan. Oh, wait. Oh, hold on. Fuck you. All right. We'll see you later. Zuckerberg can suck it.